Log Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, 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 everybody. Welcome to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Happy Thursday, everybody. Let's thank God for another day of being here, a chance to get together. Those of you that were with me yesterday, we mixed it up about single parenthood of a large family, the discriminations that come with it. You guys were awesome with your feedback. I want to shout out to Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York City. He is currently with isoradio.com. You can hear Barry spin his DJ magic on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not gracing you on the radio, he is gracing you in person with the live R&B events all over Manhattan and Brooklyn as the Track One Entertainment CEO. Now, you guys know, those of you in the New York City area that have traveled and been there to enjoy Barry's events, you know you don't leave disappointed. There's always a party going on. So we want to thank him for being a part of our team and us being a part of his and for just being a wonderful human being. So thank you, Barry. We're going to shout out. My new shout out is out there to the Real World Black News Group, who has been actively involved for the past 2 to 3 days helping us with the pre-broadcast topics. They've been offering great feedback. They've been here as panelists. They've been wonderful. They have great things to say. Of course, to my team, Monster Miles and Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, you guys have been absolutely wonderful on helping get the show to where it is. Thank you to Dickens Eddie Williams, who hasn't been with us for a couple of days, but he has been an intricate and active part of this panel, being an activist out in Toledo, Ohio. So I want to thank him whenever he should get here. Hopefully he hears us later and he can hear that we're saying thank you. Also, shout out to PS37 Cynthia Jenkins School in Queens, New York, because they have been wonderful in allowing us to use their students to implement our youth day at the studio, which has been successful now for the last 3 weeks, with young children from grades 4 through 12 that have been here to help us co-host our Saturday Spread Your Wings showcase for our upcoming local entrepreneurs and our unsigned music artists. So far we've had two regular co-hosts, age 8 Layla Thompson and age 10 Danielise Montalvo, and they've been absolutely wonderful in helping us get the Saturday showcase going. Okay, guys, tonight's topic is going to be, when is the relationship truly over? Okay, meaning, you know, are you in it simply because you're trying to do the dutiful thing to your children? Is the love gone? Is the romance gone? Do you trust the person? Are you happy anymore? Are you in this because you don't want to leave and start over? Because that's usually something that happens. But we're going to get to that after the sports segment, because Monster Miles is back today. So Monster is going to be doing his funny little thing, and after he's finished, we will start the topic up. So the next voice after our early commercial break that you're going to hear is going to be that of Monster Miles. Today we're going to be going out with these three ladies who have been wonderful to me and wonderful to these people. They're a talented group. They are called Allure. I know a lot of you have heard of this R&B group. We're going to grace them for being wonderful people and talented artists with Butterflies, and we'll be back in 4.5 minutes. Stay tuned and don't go away. Monster Miles is up next.
Butterfly,
You're listening to On The Edge.
Yeah, what's good, folks? You already know who this is. Your boy, Monster Mouth. I know I haven't been here for a while. Y'all know y'all miss me. Our ratings went down because of me.
Yeah,
I'm truly loved. I know I'm blessed like that. Let me stop. Katie about to say something smart. So let's get into these lovely sports, I guess. Well, I'm going to just talk about NBA first because football is a whole nother story, and it's just getting me mad, so let me just prepare myself for it slowly. And if you really think about it, right now, Brooklyn Nets feel like they're the new New York team, like usual. Yeah, okay, and Kevin Garnett did his thing, supposedly, on the first day of practice. Okay, that's one day, one practice. Does he want an award? Does he want a cookie? What does he want for it? Or maybe we should get like a big swatter to just swat him down looking like a roach. But anyway, yes, Brooklyn is going to be an okay team, but at the same time, yeah, Jason Kidd's going to be a good coach, but hopefully he stays out of jail. That's his thing. With him, stop drinking and driving, one. Two, get your, I know y'all got a slow team right now because y'all added Paul Pierce, Jason Terry, Kevin Garnett, all of them. Keep them from getting suspended from games and have them off the news and talking smack about the Knicks and everything. Y'all giving bad publicity to New York in general right now. And yes, it was an agreement that the Nets and Knicks will calm down the beef and supposedly, because the All-Star games are supposed to be here. One, okay, in my opinion, it should not be in Brooklyn at all. I don't care for Brooklyn. Just for the simple fact, y'all just came here. Y'all in New Jersey. Y'all should just stay there. But no, once y'all came to Brooklyn, Jay-Z was invested in y'all, so everybody jumped on that bandwagon real quick and just gave Barclay mad concerts and all this publicity for no reason. Y'all get more publicity than Madison Square Garden when Madison Square Garden deserves more publicity than y'all. Madison Square Garden's been here forever. Where have y'all been? Jersey. Y'all should, like I said, stay there next time. Matter of fact, if y'all lose during the playoffs, someone should bet y'all need to go back to Jersey. Maybe Jason Kidd will stay out of trouble there. Matter of fact, have less bars. That's what y'all need for him, a ban on bars. I'm sorry, Jason. I know I respect you as a man and everything, but you do stupid things. And they just need to have your butt out of bars as a coach. Until, no, matter of fact, do like J.R. Smith did during the playoffs. That's when you party. So y'all could freaking lose. Anyway, now let me get to the, I'm going to leave them alone right now and just talk about the NFL. All right, so I'm going to talk about week three and week four of football right now, which is horrible. It's like, where the heck are all these teams at? The NFC East sucks. I'm sorry to say. Cowboys, yes, they have like a 1-2 record or 2-2. Who really cares about the Cowgirls right now? I sure don't. The Eagles, get out of here. Redskins just won one. I mean, don't get me wrong. Giants are in the same boat as them. That's why I say it's still early in the season, but this NFC East needs to step their game up. But let me talk about these scores real quick from week three. Hold on, folks. I'm sorry. Chiefs, they won against the Eagles 26-16. For a team that sucked last year around this time, they got Andy Reid, and Andy Reid just turned that whole team around. I'm surprised. I mean, don't get me wrong. Eagles are another team, too, like Michael Vick. What happened to you, homie? Nashawn Jackson, McCoy, where was y'all at? Y'all lost. Okay. Hold on, folks. Call you on the air.
Hey, Miles, what's up?
Matter right now, man. Just mad with this NFL. Welcome back to the show, man.
Welcome back, man. It's good to be back. Good to be back. Yeah.
Very true. I know that feeling.
Yeah. A lot of crazy things going on, but it'll be all right. Gonna be all right. What's going on?
My question for you, what's going on with your Steelers?
Hey, we're going to be all right, and I'm not even worried.
You say
it'll
that
okay.
Every time.
I know it. What's wrong with them Giants?
Hey, brother.
The same thing that's going on with the Steelers is going on with the Giants right now.
Okay. But like I said, I got confidence in my team. I'm not worried. You worried about the Giants?
Nah, I've got – come on, man.
Okay, all right. So we stroking the same boat.
Yeah, we really
are
right now.
Stroking the same boat. Yeah, but they're gonna be all right. Yeah, they're going to be all right.
I can't even front and say we're not in the same boat right now.
Yeah, then y'all got a big cast ahead of y'all, man, right now. Who y'all play next?
We're playing the Eagles. I mean, we could win that game.
Oh, man, the Eagles, man, come on.
We could win that one. That's.
But you know what? I mean, don't. Philadelphia's defense is weak.
I know, it's lovely. We need a weak defense right now.
Yeah, they're definitely weak.
How you feeling about Peyton Manning breaking all these records so early?
Man, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. It is definitely crazy. I'm telling you, as long as they massacre Dallas, I'll be all right. that takes some of the sting out with my Steelers doing so bad. It takes some of the sting out as long as I can see Dallas get grinded up.
Now, I'm just wondering, though, why is it that every team has cheerleaders but New York?
What do you mean cheerleader for? You got the fans is cheerleaders enough.
I mean, like, at the same time, though, like, we're losing, like, both New York teams lost. At least get fans hyped up. Come on now. You know if we had cheerleaders, you know how many more fans would be in the seat especially men. What?
Yeah. Well, you better try to get a word out to some of them owners, man. Tell them to make some changes, man. It would add a little spice.
No sexism on the show. No exploitation.
That's not exploitation. That's giving somebody a job.
Exactly.
Oh, the male fans.
Man. No, it will give some women some jobs. Especially some of the women in New York could use a job. Some of them could probably make good cheerleaders.
I don't know. We're going to have to bleep you out on the next segment.
Oh, man. Oh.
It's just a suggestion we came up with. It ain't not me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how you feel about the Chiefs? Oh, what happened?
The what?
Oh, I was saying, how you feeling about the Chiefs being undefeated right now, but yet they were horrible last season?
You know what? I'm still undecided on them Chiefs right now, man. I'm waiting for them to really play somebody. Because, you know, they look, no, I have to give it to them, they look pretty good.
Time out. That's disrespectful to all Giants fans right there. You just say you're waiting for them to play someone. Really play someone. I just caught that.
It's the truth, man. I'm waiting for them to really play somebody.
See, you really haven't played on that one.
Huh?
You thought you were slick on that one. Just threw that one out of the bus.
I tried to squeeze that one by you.
Almost worked. We're too sharp up here.
Is what?
We're too sharp up here to let that go past us with the New York teams right now.
Okay, sharp.
But at the same time, though, don't get me wrong, I'm not a Steelers fan at all. Like I said, I respect the coach.
That's but I'm going to tell you right now the way I feel about that. How in the hell do you hire a man as your offensive coordinator when he was a damn head coach? He couldn't even spell the word win. I mean, come on, Haley has got to go. He's definitely got to go. The first thing you're going to do is you don't even address a quarterback that had just won a Super Bowl. You don't even address him and try and get to know him enough, and you're just going to come in and just say, "Well, this is going to be changes made." How you going to take the sweetness out of sugar? How do you do that? You can't take the sweetness out of sugar. Come on.
You never know with some football teams nowadays, like especially when you get new coaches. Is matter of fact, it's not even just football.
Yeah, look at the idiot out there in Tampa Bay. He's a real idiot. I mean, what's going to happen with that Tampa Bay team? I think he's already lost the locker room.
Tampa Bay. Let's not talk about Florida. And I told people this, Florida needs to invest their money into something more important than sports right now.
You got that right.
Yep.
You definitely got that right.
Oh, wait. This is off the topic, right? Well, this is still on sports, but not necessarily on football. But how you feel, because I heard LeBron talk about he will go to any team and win them a championship. Yeah. Do you think that is true or not?
Wait a minute. What?
I was talking to someone, and they were telling me LeBron said that he will go to any team after the Heat and win them a championship. Like, he's keeping his mind open for whichever team he wants to go to. But he said as long as
he thinks he's going to go to that team, whatever team he's going to go to, he's going to bring him a championship?
Yeah.
What the hell do you think? He's a one-man team or something?
Basically. Apparently.
Well, he's getting ready to get a wake-up call this season because they're not. If he thinks they're going to win another championship this season coming up, he's in for a rude awakening.
He's not winning another championship. I'm sorry. If they do, I'm moving to Canada.
No, don't move to Canada, man. Don't move to Canada.
No, matter of fact, I'll move someplace that basketball is not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's sad. One other thing, though. I have to respect Jordan because for the simple fact, he said he could beat LeBron, but he can't beat Kobe if he was still in the NBA today.
Who?
Jordan.
Jordan couldn't beat Kobe?
No, he said he could beat LeBron, but he can't beat Kobe. Jordan.
You're saying that Jordan couldn't beat Kobe?
No, just for the simple fact, Jordan feels that Kobe is the next him, in his opinion.
That's his opinion, but I don't believe Kobe could. In Jordan's prime, there's no way Kobe could beat him. Plus, a lot of everything that you see Kobe do, he got from Jordan. He steals a lot of his moves.
Yeah.
If you watch him play.
That's why he said he can't beat him.
Well, Jordan in his prime, he would love somebody like Kobe to go up against, just so he could prove a point. That's the type of player Jordan was. If he thought somebody was trying to take his title, which you got somebody that's trying to work on that, but it'll never be. Because to me, in my book, Jordan is the greatest player of all time.
Thank you.
You know, so, and as far as Mr. what's his name again? The king?
Which one? LeBron?
Oh, LeBron? That's right. That's it, LeBron. Yeah, LeBron would never be considered in my book the greatest of all time. There's no way.
There's no way.
Because how is he going to get that one blemish off his record? Something that Jordan doesn't have on his. Every championship he played in, he has won. He has never lost a championship.
And at the same time, Jordan stuck with the same team, even when his players stuck.
That's right. He remained loyal to Chicago, and that's what I really like about him. And he wasn't that type of player that had to go find some other players to play with. If anything, he wanted to go up against them.
True.
Yeah. So this whole LeBron and Jordan thing is really getting crazy because there's no comparison as far as I'm concerned. There's none. No comparison at all. They did an interview with Jordan a few days ago on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and that's when he said that he believes that Kobe would be the only one to probably give him a hard way to go or probably even beat him. But I don't believe that, man. I just don't see it.
And
I know he would destroy LeBron.
Who wouldn't in their prime?
Yeah, he would destroy LeBron. The only person that I really think would give Jordan some problems in his prime was the Big O.
Okay.
Oscar Robertson. Yep. Oscar Robertson was something else, man. You would have had to see him play. And I think that would be a good battle to see Oscar Robertson and Jordan go at it, both of them in their primes. That would be a hell of a match.
Very true.
Yeah. Because I've seen Oscar do some things with that ball, man, and he could shoot the lights out. You know, Jordan's jump shot was nowhere near as tight as Oscar's. No way. I mean, he could fill it up quick. And then he had some moves. I think there's a few moves that he had. I think he would have broke Jordan's ankles, man. He was just that good of a player. So,
all right.
Yeah, Yes. You have to go into the archives and find some tapes on Oscar. Oscar wasn't no joke. Even Jabari will even tell you, said that he think that would be a good battle, Jordan and Oscar Robertson. That would be a good battle. I would pay to see that one. Yes, sir.
I mean, like, at the same time, even though people compare LeBron to Jordan all the time, but
yeah,
especially now since he cut all his hair off, well, now he's mad bald. But at the same time, people don't understand the size of the head was different. Sure. Jordan was normal size, so he could pull off the baldness.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron, that's going to block people's eyes. That's going to just throw off everyone. A headband won't work. They're going to have to allow him to wear a hat or something.
That's an illegal weapon.
It's going to be illegal for him. Like, now you see NFL can't wear a special face mask. LeBron shouldn't be able to cut all his hair off. That should be a new rule.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I'm being serious. Like, I'm a write to the NBA. LeBron should not be able to cut all his hair off just for the simple fact that's going to be a backcourt violation. That's going to be every rule on the court right there with that big old head of his.
Oh, and he says that he's gotten better, but we'll see. Time will tell. We shall see.
Please. I'm pretty sure my little brother could beat him. Matter of fact, I've seen girls play better than LeBron.
I can't really say that he has some game, but it's not everybody's trying to build him up to be. Not to me. You know, I have to give him his props. He's a good ball player. But
sure.
To me, I can't build him up to blow him up to like he's some invincible guy out there on the court. No, that would never happen. But I'll give him his props where it's due. He's got what, two rings now? So
he's not invincible. He's protected by the refs.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he is definitely
protected.
He must pay people off or something.
I don't know what it is that they just feel like he's untouchable. You can't touch him.
He does.
He feels he's untouchable, but like let me get off this little bum. Let me give him a breather. Let him have his whole 40 minutes of fame someplace else. Not in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
He's up in New York here. But for the rest of these teams right now, a lot of them just need to step their game up in the NFL right now.
Oh, you got that right. You got that right. Most definitely.
Like this? Like, honestly, this season is just making me want to work Sunday shifts. And I hate Sunday shifts the most.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at it like this. It's still early in the season. Maybe it'll perk up a little bit. But I'm not gonna sit and hold my breath on it, though.
I'm hoping.
This is the worst start of a football season that I've seen in years.
It's breaking my heart watching all these losses.
Yeah, yeah, especially with some of these early injuries. That's why I say I can't give up on the season yet, because maybe they're getting these injuries out of the way early. So about mid-season, we'll be able to really tell, because they're going to start separating the men from the boys after a while. That's why I said I'm not going to put too much stock in the Kansas City. We'll see once it starts getting hot and heavy, see how long they're going to last out there.
They ain't going to last long. It's going to be hot.
Yeah.
It's going to be sweating bullets.
Look at New England. Look what he's doing with what little he's got. He's got all those young guys, man.
Exactly, and Brady's getting pissed, like I said before.
Yeah.
They lost two players, two of their key players. One's in jail. The other was on the Broncos.
And to me, that was one of the mindless moves of not keeping Wes Welker. How do you not keep that man? And I think Brady should have stood up more for him than what he did. He didn't open his mouth. And you know, those championships he was one of the main reasons why they won those championships.
Exactly.
Yeah, so there's no way I would have made a statement, hey, look, if y'all don't keep Wes Welker, I don't know what y'all want. I don't know what I'm going to tell y'all, and I don't even know if I want to renew my contract. So y'all got to figure that out.
Okay, but also, Kay just made a good point, though. How do you feel like you see a lot of players getting injured right now, but yet coaches are letting them stay on the field?
It don't make sense. It don't make sense to me. If you're the coach and you got a valuable player out there that's back on the field after he's been hurt, come on, that's all up to the coach. If he allows that player back on the field, then he doesn't need to be the coach. He has no control of his team or his player.
Exactly.
You know, come on. I'm looking out for your safety. So if I feel as though I'm the coach, I feel as though I tell you you're not going back out there. You're not going back out there. So you can huff and puff all you want to, you know. Go tie a ribbon around it or something, but no, that's crazy. That's crazy.
But at the same time, it's not like the NBA where NBA is guaranteed the money. Even if they sit out like 5-6 games in a row,
right,
they're good. Football players have to go out for their money. Like if they sit out too long, they're losing money during each game. So that's the only reason why. They break a finger, they're still out there. They want that money. They want their paychecks.
Well, see, you know what? If I'm a football player, I break a finger. I can play with a broken finger. That's nothing. But if say like a knee or something like that, or an ankle or something like that, or maybe even a dislocated shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would probably come out, but a little broken finger, I think I could deal with that. I think I could deal with that. Like a Ronnie Lott did one time, told him to cut the doggone finger off, and he was right back out there on the field.
What?
So,
that's ridiculous right there. I ain't going to do all that. I mean, that's too much.
Yeah, he actually had his finger removed so he can get back in the game. And they gave him a pain shot after he did a quick removal of the finger, and he was right back out there playing.
Katie said that's a sci-fi story right there.
That's a what?
Sci-fi story right there.
Oh man, that's true dedication and love for the game right there.
That's too much love right there. That's like getting shot over a girl you were with for 2 weeks. No, too much love. Nah, not worth it.
Oh man,
I'm not losing a finger over it. No. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the sport and everything, but if it's losing money or losing my finger, I'll live with losing the money first.
Mm-hmm.
I got to respect it at the same time, because that's true dedication right there. I can't say nothing on that one, because that ain't me. That's that psycho player type, like, no.
Well, I know that there was one time in a high school game I played with a dislocated finger, and that was pretty painful. But I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to leave the game.
Dislocation, we talking taking
the finger off the goal. Well, honestly, it's an adrenaline that gets to you. That's what it is.
It really didn't bother me until after the game was over. That's when I really felt it. You know.
That's
right now, you know, even today, it still gives me trouble, even today. So, you know, because they tried to make me go to the doctor, but I was hard-headed. I don't need no doctor. It's only dislocated.
Well, we got to wrap up this lovely session. Before we do, predictions on this week's games.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Time out for a second. Sorry. We have to pay honor to LT Greenwood, of course.
Yes. One of the greats. You know, there's only one member of the steel curtain left. All the rest are gone. except for Mean Joe Green. He's the only one left.
Wow.
Yeah. So he will be truly missed.
Very true.
Yeah.
But you have any predictions on this week's games?
Who are the Lions playing?
Who knows?
So they play Green Bay, right?
Most likely. I don't care about Detroit. Detroit needs to go lay down.
They got a pretty good team this year, man.
They be all right. Detroit needs to go lay down. Packers need to go sit down.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. In that game, I'm going to tell you, I'll pick the Lions to beat the Packers.
Yeah. I'll pick
my prediction,
to beat the Packers.
Yeah, my prediction would be 34-23.
Nice.
That's
okay.
My prediction on that one. Who's next in line? Who is Cincinnati playing?
Dang, I forgot. I know
they just lost to Cleveland last week, right?
Yeah,
I don't like neither one of those teams.
Neither do I.
Yeah, so.
I just want my team to win. That's all I care about right now. But I got
the Giants?
Yeah.
Who the Giants playing? Who they playing?
We got the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm going to give you the score of that one. Since the Philadelphia Eagles defense can't stop nobody, 45-28.
We can only hope that's true, though. All right, man. It was good talking to you, though.
All right. Always good talking to you.
You know,
all
we
right.
always want to go back and forth for this lovely sports section.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna give a quick shout out to New York. I'm a New Yorker at heart, and my heart goes out to New York.
Yeah, baby.
Appreciate it, man.
All right.
Have a good evening.
All right.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. That was Marsha Miles and Deacon Zeddy Williams wrapping it up and mixing it up in here with his brand of sports. Once again, I do concur with him, giving some honor to the great late L.C. Greenwood of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was one of the greats. And I remember my father speaking about him quite often, even before I understood what football games were. So, you know, rest in heaven. And now we are going to move on to tonight's topic. And I got quite a bit of feedback from several places on my social media. And I want to thank a few people in particular because they had some outstanding things to say. So first, I want to say to everyone in the Real World Black News and Discussions group, you guys have been fantastic, super supportive, very insightful, and, you know, of course, very participative because I've been going back and forth on the boards when you were reacting to the things that you heard and the things that were said. So I thank you very much for that. Also, I want to say a couple of shout-outs to Dolores Milligan, formerly the Ladies of Sky. She also had some great things to say. And a few of my other people out there, Catherine Charlotte, she was one, and a few other people that took the time out today to answer. So I appreciate that. And, of course, Lou Mason, who was here 2 days ago to give some spin on the babies on video twerking and being filmed by their parents. So all of you have been intricate parts of the last few days, and I appreciate everything that you have done. So now tonight, our topic is this. When is the relationship truly over? Okay? Let's talk about people who have been in a relationship for more than 3 years. And in the beginning, everything was rosy and, you know, you couldn't stop looking at each other. You couldn't keep your hands off each other. lasted about a year, maybe a year and a half. Somewhere down the line, communication stopped. Now there's children, you know, tiresome stuff happened. You're more tired than ever. I don't know if looking at each other is a problem, or maybe it's just life has taken its toll on you. The interest is gone. So what exactly constitutes you not trying to save the relationship, and it's past therapy, now it's just time to end? So a couple of examples, and I do have an article that I referenced today that I found. There are 10 top signs that relationships are over. And it's funny, I thought they were kind of lacking in that area. Carla, I do see you there. I'll be bringing you in just a minute. So one of the things that I heard was when sex is no longer an issue between them, or sex can't keep you together, when sex is not being had between you, the interest in sex is gone, when you can't stand looking at each other anymore, when you no longer are feeling anything for the person that you're with, when you feel that you're lonely. I thought that was a very big point. When you feel that you're lonely, when you have somebody with you. And one of the things that I feel everybody in their answers, including this expert quote-unquote article, forgot to mention was trust. When you no longer trust the person that you're with, the relationship is done. Forget how good the sex is. Forget how whatever. The relationship is done. Because after all that, you're going to be like Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt in that spy movie. But now you have to sleep with your guns under your pillow. And, you know, so that doesn't make any sense. So my question tonight is, what do you think is the top sign that the relationship is over? So I'm going to bring in, we have actually 3 people on the panel right now, so I'm going to bring in them one at a time. Let me start with this one. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening.
Hi there, Deacon. Okay, hang on. I've got 2 more people to bring in. 1 second. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Is this me?
This is, you're on the air.
Jay Braxton.
Hi there, Cinnamon. How are you?
Sweet
and
pea.
How are you?
I'm fine, my love. Good to talk to you. God bless you. Hi. All right.
Give me 1 second. I have 1 more person to bring in, and then we'll start our discussion, okay? All right.
No problem.
Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Oh, Lady Diamond, our co-host. Okay, this is a perfect panel tonight. All right, I'm going to start with our newest guest, okay? Sin.
Yes, my love.
Hi, my dear. Tell me, what do you think is a surefire sign that your relationship is over?
Well, number one, a relationship is always between 2 people, okay? And I have to point out, I mean, I do like to express that time's got nothing to do with it. Talking from a woman's point, the woman's side of a relationship, for me, when a relationship's over, I'm not feeling it in my heart no more. I just can't bear them to touch me, and I don't want them to come near me. As far as being a woman as well, whenever a relationship over, I will step up to the mark and tell the gentleman it's over. I recently was involved with somebody that I really liked, Katie. He was a friend for a couple of years, and then we did get involved. But what hurt me the most was there was no closure. He just completely cut me off and, didn't even say, look, it's over between us. You know, I need, as a female, I guess men too, I needed the closure, and I didn't get the closure. So, therefore, it took me longer to get over him, and
oh,
he was in the same circles as me. So, to put up, you know, for me to have to be fronted, I have to be polite and nice, even though I really don't want to. I mean, I could whoop his ass, so to speak. You know what I mean? I'm being truthful. I mean, I could say more, but I'm not going to say, you know, and that kind of hurt me. I mean, you know, and it's tough. But I think that when you get, for a woman, as far as the sex is concerned, for a woman it's harder because we release oxytocin, and that becomes like an addicting thing to the brain too. And I don't know, for me as a woman, I just can't, get involved with anybody too quickly again, if you get me drift. You know, I need time out, which I think I've allowed myself to give. I'm pretty together now, if you get me. But you know what I'm saying? It kind of hurts you for them, makes you worry, especially when the closure part really hurt me, KD. I'm going to be honest with you. That was it. If the guy had said to me, look, Simone, this ain't working, that ain't working, I would have said, you know, you could sit and discuss it as two adults. Because, you know, it made me a bit bitter. Not bitter, because I'm not a bitter person. I'm kind of positive. It hurt me. I'm not going to lie. It bloody well hurt me that he just cut me out completely. And I still have to pretend, you know, the front, I'm still smiling all the way when I'm seeing him out and about, if you get me drift, in the same circle as me, you know. But thank God I am a strong person. But you know what I'm saying, you know, and that's the thing. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, men kind of, they move on faster than women, or basically they're taught early not to show their emotion, and that pisses me off, because I know men do have emotional feelings, and I can express my emotion. I think women can, but when men seem to cut it off and block it off, it pisses me off, because come on, we're all bloody human. You know, why can't they say, huh? You know, what is it? Am I in the wrong country, KD? Do you think I need to go back home?
No.
Not at all.
No, can somebody help me out? There's a male on there. Or what do you think, KD, about what I just said, you know?
Well, I will tell you, you touched on a really important point, and do understand, listeners, if you're brand new to this, we're not a expert, like, psychiatric show or anything.
No. Yeah.
No, not you, Simone. I just want to make sure that, because the disclaimers are all over the place on the show, but we're viewpoint people. We are speaking about our viewpoints on issues. Now, one of the things that I do know is that when a lot of people get back into bad relationships because it wasn't closed off properly. Okay? A lot of times exes become re-exes because it wasn't closed off properly. Listen, I went through that with one, where everything was perfect, and, you know, they went through, long distance in the whole night, and out of the blue, you know, it was like suddenly everything was wrong, and, you know, I mean, in 24-hour period, then it was back to, you know, I love you, then it was back to, so I understand that. When you're sitting there and you're going, well, what the hell just happened?
What have you done? Heart didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. Yeah.
It's true, especially when nothing was going wrong, when everything seemed great and was perfect from both people. Now, that's one thing. So I'm going to go to you, Deacon Williams. What do you think is a surefire sign of a relationship is done?
Well, I just want to comment on what the young lady was expressing, that, and I just want to tell you this. What you were dealing with was a coward. If he wanted to break up with you and you had no idea, you said there was never any closure, that was a coward's move.
Thank you, Deacon.
That should have never have happened. You know, so that lets you know, so don't you feel bad. Don't even give him the satisfaction even letting him know that you were hurt behind that, because he's a coward.
Thank you, Deacon. Oh, yeah, for sure he is. I know. Thank you. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Deacon.
Yeah.
Bless your heart.
And now to your question, Katie, well, my opinion is, okay, if everything started out so well and then, you know, started noticing little things that are no longer happening, there's something wrong, and you should take the time to ask questions about it. Don't let it sit and let little things grow into bigger things. Because the longer you let it sit, the more molds is going to grow on it. I'll put it like that. So if you're sensing something in the relationship and it doesn't feel right to you, question it. I mean, if you're supposed to be two people that care about one another, it should be nothing that you can't sit down and discuss. Nothing. I mean, if you really care about one another, if you can't do that, there's no relationship there, period.
Deacon, I want to go to Lady Diamond for just a minute, because I want to touch back on what you just said. So just give me a second. Elaine, give me your viewpoint, dear.
Well, yeah, just like what the lady just said, So what I know that is, like, at the end of the relationship, that I know the relationship is already done and over. Yeah, I start distancing myself from the person, or I start seeing that that person starts distancing themselves from me. And either way, I try to find a way to communicate with the person, so I'm listening. You know, I'm not feeling it right now. What can we do to work on it? Or, you know, or hopefully that person will come up and say, listen, something's wrong. Let's figure this out, because I would like to keep continuing with this relationship. But it looks like already at the end of this point, there's no way of turning back. Maybe, you know, then I will have to tell the person, I'm sorry, but I won't have to let you go due to, you know, certain things I cannot express what I'm going to say. But, you know, do the things that I can't deal with right now. The last one I have, forget about it. Always depressed, always angry. There's been things I'm going to say, you know what, I can't deal with this relationship. I got to go. And he was upset, but I was like, you know what, yeah, I mean, I have to move forward. I can't stay in a relationship that was angry, that was the blame game. No, I don't like the blame game. You know, I don't like it when it's your fault, that's your left right there. You know, so the distancing part does take a lot part of it. And, you know, you start, like, pushing things away, start building a brick wall around you just to, you know, show the person that, okay, it's already done and over. And we speak about it, but still it's like you're not going to change it, so we have to go our separate ways.
Indeed. Okay, Deacon and Elaine, you both said the same. Now, one of the other common responses that I got to the pre-broadcast question when I throw out the pre-broadcast topic question and I get feedback. All right, one of the things that came up was communication. Now, for me, lack of communication is not so much a seal the deal, you know, it's over in the relationship. And I'm going to tell you why. Lack of communication can be double-sided. And what I mean by that is it's either coming from I don't care to communicate anymore because I'm really done. One of them is really done. But it also could be that, you know, two people truly still love each other, but something went wrong and neither person knows how to express it. So there's a certain way that you could tell which type of lack of communication method it is. And I guess that would determine whether that is a reason to end a relationship. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you, Deacon, was this. Okay, is it more than just the talking, or do you think that it's the lack of communication along with other things? Now, I know one of the things that we had spoken about, and Elaine, you were with us on this one, that made a really big difference, and when we were talking about, you know, things that go wrong in relationships, which actually filters over to the children, was this. If you stopped respecting each other, okay, whereas one point you both had dreams or one of you had a bigger dream and the other one supported, but then when it came time for that dream to come to fruition, suddenly the other person is like you're dreaming or it's not there. Or the respect, whereas outsiders start getting in your business, children start seeing you argue with each other. You know, people on the outside can have a say-so about, you know, an argument that took place between you and your mate. So is it just the communication, or do you feel, Deacon, I don't know where that's coming from. I kind of need... Okay. Okay. Deacon, do you feel it's just lack of communication, or is it lack of communication with other things that would determine ending the relationship?
Well, I think it's the main thing would be lack of communication, because you should always keep a good line of communication in a relationship. I mean, we're not mind reading. So if you're not feeling good about something, like I said, that's your mate. You should be able to go to him and have a discussion and let him know what you're feeling and what you're feeling, what you're not feeling. And they shouldn't get into an argument or anything like that. And if it's a situation that you feel like you can both work it out and talk it out, it's, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, try new things in relationships. You can't go through a relationship and doing everything over and over and over and over. After a while, you lose the taste for it, you know. Mm-hmm. So relationships are a team effort. It shouldn't never be a one-sided thing.
Oh, that's for sure. It's a two-way street. Sin Monday, let me go to you. What do you feel? Do you feel simply lack of communication, or lack of communication with other things should be a factor?
Well, the thing is, I think it's going to be down to the individual persons that are involved in the relationship, because some people are people pleasers, okay, and they get, they kind of don't want to confront, and they don't like confrontation because they're scared of confrontation, because they don't want to upset the other person. That could be a factor.
Right.
Or, you know, if I mean, people that have got children, like a mother, for instance. I mean, I don't have children, but I can imagine the mother gets so involved with doing her her daily chores, routine, you know, getting them ready for school. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I think the mother of the household, between husband and wife, if you like, or partnership, generally is like the director. She organizes everything. The man's kind of like the breadwinner. And I guess if they get to, I think in a relationship like that, I think it's important that people have like the date night where they, you know, and keep the communication going and keep the peace going, you know, and try and, you know, have time for themselves. You know, they've got kids in the household. Go out on your own, have your date night. You know, have your breaks, you know what I mean? To keep that going, to keep the friendship going and keep time for each other, that's got to be laid out on the line at the beginning, really, as soon as birthing of the baby. Yeah. Get out there and have your date night, you know, and spend time together and be together. But once communication's gone, everything else goes. Everything kind of follows, you know, sleeping in the separate bedroom and all that, doesn't it? You know what I'm saying, which is sad. You know,
right.
I mean, it's got, you know, somebody's got to give in. Somebody, you know, it's about trust, isn't it? The trust.
Yes.
Etc. Yes. You've got to still be able to trust each other. Even have your own independent nights out. You know, the guy has his thing, the girl has her thing, and keep it going, you know? But it's got to come from two. It can't be one-sided, you know, catching up with each other. One's ahead, the other one catches up. The other one, that's the way it's got to be. That's the way in the ideal world, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. That example that you just gave about, you know, the moms being involved with the children and directing, that is also a big killer for relationships. Now, this article that I was wanting to refer to, what I didn't like about it was that the 10 signs that they named, it more sounded like young couples getting started, not people that have been in an established relationship or marriage. It sounded more like, you know, well, when the guy stops calling you, or when, you know, we're not talking that. We're talking about relationships, established relationships, some that could have children, some that could be marriages. Now, one of the things that can kill a relationship quick is if one person feels like they're doing all the trying and all the work, and that they feel that they're in a team effort, but the other team member is not thinking team. And
yeah,
I can tell you that right now.
Sorry, I might have to call you on the other phone. My battery's dying on this phone. I'm going to call in on the other phone. I'm sorry. I can hear it beeping. All right. All right, I'll call back.
Let's call back. We'll have you right here.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Okay,
bye.
To both of our panelists that have said us, one of the things that can happen is when one person feels like they're carrying the weight for the entire relationship. So I know that's a factor. Vegan, you were speaking to me a lot about, like, couples that you have dealt with or seen, or young men that felt, you know, the same way. So you know that it could be a killer in a minute. If you're supposed to be in a team effort, and one person is feeling like they're just the captain and the team members and the supporting team, that can kill a relationship. It's like a single parent doing everything. So
right.
Do you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, I agree with you totally.
And Elaine?
I agree too. I agree too.
Oh, I have a caller. Hold on a second. Oh, I might be thin. Hold on.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, caller. You on the air?
It's me, it's Simone. I'm back.
Okay, hi, Simone. Okay, well, as you were saying, yes, that was a perfect example, and both of our other panelists agree as well. Another thing is, okay, one thing that I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is a blatant fact. If you are a person that is an entrepreneurial thinker or a creative person or somebody that is got a really big dream, you have a really big dream and you really have the talents to make this dream come to light, but you have to go around to make the right connection. If you are a person that thinks like an entrepreneur, that's not happy being an employee, that is not just about the physical, tangible, you know, whatever you could see, feel, touch, and count on at the end of the week. If you're a person that thinks above that, you can't be with a person that is okay at a cap.
All right, say that again. It's okay in a what, sorry?
You will never be compatible with a person who's okay being just a top-paid employee. Okay, if one person has ambitions and the other person has what you call like more skeptical and strict logics or logistics, it won't work. It's like a musician that their dream is to write music and play music, and they know they're good at it. It's a burning thing, and they've been nonstop at it. And they have a person in their life that doesn't understand that, you know, being a musician means you'll be on the road doing gigs that may or may not bring in money right away or whatever. When that starts to become an issue, and I'm not talking about under no circumstances people just chasing dreams. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you know, like, say, since Monday, if you were a person that you want to own your business one day, okay,
yeah,
and you've been doing little businesses and saving your money for it, then you get a man in your life that is, he's all for how cute it sounds in the beginning to him, but when you really start saying, well, you know what, I'm going to take time out with you, but then I'm going to have to be up a little late today to work because I have to get this going, or I have to be going away because I have a meeting with somebody that's a big person in this, it could be a big connection. When that person is not in the same realm as you, it's never going to work no matter how good everything else is. Because eventually,
disagree there. I mean, then there's not a trust. Then she wasn't really behind the person then anyway. If they see, you know, they're feeling neglected, you know, they're going to have to find a balance if you can. You know,
that's true. And I'm saying, well, a person that wants to get stuff done, okay, absolutely, I don't care what it is, you always have to make time for your family if you have one, or your partner if you have one, your spouse, whatever it is, you always have to, okay, at any point in time. But when you are trying to do something and you don't want it, you have a future investment planned in your head, okay? If there's a person that lives by, at the end of the week, I get $350 in a check, or at the end of the week, I'll get $350 plus overtime next week, and they know that every week that's what they're getting, and that's what they're counting on. If you're a person that says, I'm going to do this for now, but my dream is to do this, and that person thinks on the paycheck, it will never work. Artistic people got to be with people who understand art.
Yeah, and everything else as well, and banking and business. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, sometimes opposites attract. I mean, I like the arts, incidentally, but at the end of the day, it's about opposites attract sometimes. And if that person can't support them, then it is going to wane. I mean, you've got to meet each other halfway. Right?
Yeah.
Opposites attract, but there has to be a big common ground in between them. You know, let's say if the person is totally just the opposite from you, meaning there's nothing you guys have in common, okay? The looks and the imaginations of what the sex might be like, or what it would be, or just having somebody who's tall and muscular around you, or for guys, somebody who's curvy and beautiful, you know, if that's all that there is to it and you know nothing about this person or you have nothing in common with this person, what exactly are you guys going to do except sleep together or walk around with each other? Because at the end of the day, if you have a person that maybe don't understand anything, let's say I'm a writer. So my biggest dream at one point was I want to see my book get in print and, you know, maybe win a award for a good novel, you know? If that person doesn't understand what a Nobel Peace Prize is or Nobel Literary Award is, but they stand there and they're happy because you're happy, you've got a good partner. But if you're coming in, But if you run home one day, if you're running home one day and you're running home to your partner, the one person in your life that you want to share this with first, and you're like, oh, my God, you know what? I just got nominated for this and that. And they're looking at you like, okay, well, that sounds great. You understand what I mean? It's not going to work. It's not going to work.
Right.
It won't work.
You're both supposed to be support for one another. Especially if you're saying out your mouths that you care for one another or you love one another, you've got to be there for each other. If not, there's no relationship there. How could there possibly be?
There couldn't be. On the other hand, if we're sitting there and we're coming home out of routine, well, we got kids, so we don't want to have a one-parent home. So we live together and we stay there. The sex is gone. We can't talk anymore. We can't do it. It's time to go. Because the children will not appreciate you standing there in misery and say it was for them. They'll feel to blame. They'll feel resentful. They'll grow up and do it to their partners or their children.
Yeah.
Okay, they'll have very bad outlooks on what relationships are or marriage is. That has happened quite often. So you don't want to be in make a bad relationship worse and say it's for the children. Why would you want to do that?
Oh, so many people do, KD.
Indeed.
They do. Indeed. Oh, my goodness. They do. They do. They stick and they use the kids as pawns and then they go out and have affairs. Because they're not happy at home. Because once the sex is gone, there's no communication. So they go looking for it elsewhere, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a
marital,
good side,
darling.
Of that.
EM, extramarital. Yep. Yeah.
Well, for me, I couldn't see myself being in a bad relationship and having outside affairs or an open relationship. How does that solve the problems that you have? I feel you have to turn to an outside, you need to end one.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. But people do, KD. Affairs are like,
oh, I know,
giving out candy today. I mean, people do, and you know, they do, and they get away with it. Not everyone, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yes, I do.
It's ridiculous, but, I mean, people in relationships that aren't happy as well. They don't want to, like, part because of financial too, do they? You know, they just stick together because they've got a house together, or, you know, they don't want to, you know, they don't want to break the home up, meaning monetary, financial, house over the, you know, how, what is it? What's the word? What am I trying to, you know, with the, you know, they've got the home, they don't want to give that up. So some people just stick it out, don't they? And it doesn't. And they're unhappy, but why should two people be unhappy, stay together? It's ridiculous.
I know, go already. You know, well, I will tell you this. A lot of people don't like to start over, okay? A lot of people have convinced themselves to accept the misery as part of a routine because starting over is scarier than being in a relationship that is messed up. And I've seen that. And not tomorrow, but by next week, there is going to be a segment on the thinking of a victim of abuse, the way when people think that they're just staying with their abusers. No, there's a whole story inside their heads and in their lives that people don't know about. You know, so that's one thing. But it may not be an abusive relationship, but it's a nonchalant or dismissive relationship as well. So then let's look at the ones that have nothing else in common but sex. So what happens now?
God. I can't get that because if you're not communicating verbally, how are you going to have no communication? How are you going to have sex with somebody? How? I don't get that.
And I don't see how you could feel special or whatever because, see, men are a lot more physical-minded with sex. I'm not saying all men, so, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that men don't have, you know, that sex doesn't need to be meaningful for them. But right off the bat, men will take sex and it means absolutely nothing to them except physical, you know, pleasure. Whereas a woman, even though she might say she agrees to the terms of that, she's not a person that can just do sex physically and not have some emotion tied to it. So it never works out like that. So if I'm in a relationship with them, if I'm in a relationship with a man that's supposed to be in my life for some time, that we vowed exclusivity, we've been together, we're married, and no longer is he concerned with how I'm feeling, or can we talk about just our day, or why I'm feeling the way I feel, or why we're constantly fighting. All you want to do is hit the bed. I'm going to start feeling like I'm just a jump off.
You're just a what?
A jump off. Okay, I forgot. Sweetheart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, just like a, you know, somebody that he'll hit and keep it moving. You know, and it's not supposed to be like that when you're sharing a life together.
No.
You know, so.
No, that's not. Yeah.
I wouldn't want that.
No, I wouldn't either. Hell no way.
You know, I would start feeling like it's just my body he wants, you know, or it's just that.
I know.
Now, one of the interesting points that was brought up in this 10 signs your relationship is over was they said when a woman stops having orgasms for the man in her life. Yeah, gentlemen, that is kind of a big thing, because it was like you used to be, when you first were with this person, you could be sitting in a chair thinking about them and boom, you're embarrassed because, you know, something happened or you got to get up and go check yourself. And, you know, sex was great with the person. You could talk afterwards. You could talk about how many you done had and, you know, everything. When you stop getting there and you start having to fake it, or you start having to think of other things in your mind to make it happen, or you have to start doing yourself in the act a little more than not just for fun or enhancement, yeah, you kind of got to figure out what is going on there. You kind of do. You know, it's not just the point of, you know, I think guys, they just have a certain time period where it's going to happen either way you look at it. Like, that's the way it goes for them. So I don't know, Deacon. I'm talking from a female speculation here. No, I'm talking from female. Like, I'm figuring your body is on a certain timer anyway. No matter how long you can prolong it, the whole point is that at the end, you know, it comes to an end. It has to come to an end at that point. You know, like that's when you know it's done. But for us, you know, we could get in it and end it. You know, and we could be like, okay, well, I didn't come, or I didn't have an orgasm, and, you know, but I had sex, or it's over for me. Whereas you guys need that to happen in order for it to be over for you. You know what I mean? Like, that's an automatic thing. So I don't know if I'm wording it correctly, but it's like for us, an orgasm comes with the pleasure, and with us, sexual pleasure is usually connected to emotional stuff. So that's usually the way it is. Now, don't get me wrong, a lot of these women, and I know you've seen them since Monday, because we've been in a couple of clubs and we've seen some of them. You know, we've been a couple of events that Barry put on, and, you know, you've seen a few of them when we were waiting in line for the tickets and stuff. All right? They'll walk past you brazen as they come, and all they're out for is whoever got the nicest looking bling on their necks and wrist and everything. So we're not talking them. They have an agenda.
But I haven't really noticed. Oh, go on.
Oh, that's right. You just go in and have a good time. Elaine, you've seen them, right?
Oh, yes, I have. I've seen them everywhere.
Yes. Especially the older that they get, the more, like, you know,
the
out there, flashy they're trying to be. Nobody knows how to just have fun and, you know, in your age group anymore. Everybody is trying to be, you know, I'm going to put my platinum on, girl. That don't match. I need to put this. And guys, oh, my God. I say this all the time, but these 50-somethings and plus men, and I'm not talking about men just trying to be physically healthy or, you know, physically fit or just look good. I'm talking about guys that have that high school locker room go-get-em agenda. Okay? And you know what I'm talking about? You are too old, player, to be trying to be the jock in the high school locker room. That time's over. Keep it moving. Be a player in your age, and be proud. Be a sexy older person. I mean, I don't know. I'm proud of it. I'm gonna be 44 tomorrow. As a matter of fact, the segment tomorrow is gonna be about how we're gonna fight the middle age fears, because that's what's going on. Okay.
Wow.
I am going to bring in this caller, who I suspect is the person from yesterday. And if it is, you will be instantly removed, and I will have people start tracing where you're coming from. But just in case, if you're not, make my apologies, okay? 1 second. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hello. Hey, sorry, I didn't call in yesterday. I don't know what you were talking about there.
Okay.
But, so, I got a relationship question. You know, I'm currently experimenting with this girl. However, my roommate is actually dating her, and he's actually calling into the show. His name's Larry Monroe, and I told him that I was calling in because I wanted to talk to you guys about it. And I think he's calling in, too, because he wants to tell his side of the story. And I was just wondering if we can just settle this right now and get your advice.
Okay.
I got a hold up.
Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Larry.
Yo, this is Larry.
Yes, hi.
Hey, Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Hey, listen, this is Scott, man.
Who?
Can we be civil about this and talk about Christina?
Yeah, what about Christina? You know, I'm tired of it. Go ahead. Give me your side of the story.
Okay. Well, you know that she's been with me for a year and a half. She's only been with you for 4 months.
Yeah, well, you know what? She fell in love with me in that 4 months. And those cheesesteaks, I tell you what, they've been a few places.
Well, first of all, I've been with her for a year. We're already talking about getting married and having a kid. And then you come in here and start cheating on her and putting cheesesteaks up certain holes. And I'm not going to have that, man.
Yeah,
you know what? Well,
fuck you.
Fuck
you, Larry, piece of shit.
Oh, fuck you. I put cheesesteaks in her
Hello?
Yeah, this is the same guys from yesterday. I recognize the voices. They have nothing better to do, so, okay.
So it was like the Jerry Springer show at that
moment.
This
was the one
that if they became Jerry, even when they Katie, it's retarded.
Nothing better to do. I wish I knew where their parents were. You know,
oh,
I'm serious. By the way, this was those listeners that were out there, Lou Mason, if you're listening, that's the same guy that called in the other day during the twerking, the baby's twerking on video.
Right.
Said, oh, yeah.
And said that he was a child molester. He was 47. He takes pictures of kids in the park. He feels that kids should be able to sexually express themselves and parents should stay out of it. He doesn't feel parents should be whatever. And I knew it because you idiots are using the same stupid application that's doing the same thing we did with the first one. So how are you going to be smart?
Hello?
Idiot?
That's why I had a feeling. It was
like
kind of getting funny.
Yeah,
we're here.
Yes,
hello? Yes. Okay.
Yes, Lucas.
Let's don't even discuss them, because that's what they want.
No. Yep.
So let's stick
There's
to our topic this evening. Yes.
And
so they don't give them that
don't
satisfaction.
Don't bother him back in. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I agree with you, Deacon. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Can I just say something? Can I just ask something? You wanted somebody. What's the other lady's name? The other lady on here.
Lady Diamond. Lady Diamond.
Lady Diamond. I mean, what? I didn't quite. I knew Katie. What, you were saying people in line, and what do you mean by the best bling? I mean, males or females or either.
Oh, bling. What I mean by bling is shiny jewelry, expensive looking jewelry.
Oh, I know what bling. No, I know what bling means, but I don't get it.
Okay.
They want that look the best bling? What is that?
No, what I mean is,
yeah,
there are
I'm
ladies,
sorry.
It's young girls that have this mentality nowadays, and then the women that are in our age bracket trying to be those young ladies. They're dressing up in clubs like their teenage daughters.
Yeah. One
know,
of my friends, he was talking about that the other week. Yeah, he was
right.
Going on about that. They're dressing like they're going to the daughter's closets or something, he was saying. Yeah.
And they're out there, so we can understand that maybe them with, you know, having casual sexual flings is okay. They can deal with that because they would. And I think a lot of them anyway are so busy also trying to act like they can handle casual flings, but they're looking for a relationship like anybody else because that's what God designed them to do. but they try to act like they're cougars or they're predators or they're tigers, you know, the whole nine.
Gotcha. Right, okay.
You know, so when it comes to relationships, I definitely believe if you are at the point where you feel nothing for the person that you're with now, that, you know, that their presence, their mere presence annoys you, that you feel stuck where you're at because you're not, you haven't moved out of the place or that person came home even, it's time to go. You know, because one of you is going to start disrespecting the other one far beyond the need to do it, you know, far beyond what you should have gone. And I do agree with communication being very important because, like we talk about all the time, technology has taken the place of face-to-face anyway. People are making up and breaking up on text. They're sexting on text. They're telling you their emotions through stupid little smiley faces or, you know, stick out your tongue faces. That should be just for the moment where you're just too mad to talk to the person. But at some point, it's not a cell phone that you're dating. It's not a chat room that you're dating. And I think that anybody who's above the teen level who's doing it this way needs to be smacked. You are 50 years old and you're telling somebody that it's over or you're not answering their text because you don't have the guts to say, you know, I made a mistake, I know what I said, or I don't want to be involved or whatever the case is, or you don't know how to tell a person that you find them great and you would like to be with them, so, you know, you send it to a text, and then you do the same thing when you're mad at something that happened. You don't talk.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it?
Oh, grow up. Honestly, grow up. Otherwise, you're going to be wound up like the two morons that just called in here and have nothing better to do than to be on radio web shows, you know, trying to get 15 minutes of attention.
I think a lot of people in general do not can't handle or can't cope with confrontation.
Do you know what's in my day?
Under the rug.
Maybe not, but in our day, who likes unpleasant confrontation? You know, but eventually at some point as adults, you're going to have to put past your fear and say something. Listen, you know how many love songs or breakup songs there are to help start saying something or get the courage up to say it if you can't say it right away. But talk about
There's a lot of, I'm sorry to cut you off, but as you mentioned in the love song, I can name two off the top of my head, and these are songs, I mean, these are singers themselves, that I swear, when I hear it, I'm like, oh my goodness. They're like, you know, just listening to them, you're going through, I mean, I see a friend of mine do this, which is hysterical, that she's deleting pictures of her ex, and listening to Drake at the same time. And Drake, he's known for those type of music that'll make you cry and call your ex again. You know? And I'm like,
Drake just annoys me. I can't take his voice. I can't take it. But Chris Brown has never a right time to say goodbye. Then there's other people that, you know, if you're in love with the person and you can't say goodbye. You know? Bruno Mars, this is old school. That's got the Temptations and the Manhattans. Come on, there's so many ways that you could sing something to yourself and say, you know, maybe I'll use that line. There are a lot of people Sin Monday that don't like confrontation, but really, who in actuality really does? Just to walk up and say, that's right, I like having this type of a fight. Let's go. But on the flip side of that, there's a lot of people who are normally timid that waits to start a very heated fight so they can get the courage they need through anger and just blurt it out. And I think that's a cowardly way to go.
That's the way to go? Sorry? What did you say?
Well, it's true. I mean, people do rely on certain things to push them forward and say, okay, this song is about you. Listen to it, and you'll get what I'm trying to say. If that's like the only way that you get through the person, you know, hey, yeah, why not go ahead? Or like a certain poem, they see, oh, you know what, this poem reminds me of you, you know, and they read it like, wait a minute, you're telling me that it's over? You know, it's like, I've seen it done so many times, I'm like, wow, you dedicate
that particular.
Oh, it's over.
I do want to bring up one real, really, really common example of when the relationship is over. And I'm going to say this because I do share certain experiences of my own with my listeners because that's what this show is about. It's an outreach show to help, you know, people in the communities, you know, youth going through their problems and the parents of these youth. One of the things, ladies especially, if you are in, and guys too, because let me stop just putting this on like the guys are the culprit, because the women nowadays are some brazen people. I'll tell you that right now. I've seen some horrible things done by some women to some very good men. Okay? But I will say this. If you are in a damn relationship, I don't care if you, this is the baby daddy, baby mama, if you are in a relationship where you have to constantly feel that the minute they walk out of your sight, they've gotten to go in cahoots with someone, they've went to cheat, if you got to feel that you got to monitor them on their computer like you monitor your teenager, if you can't trust them with their phone laying down and the minute they go to sleep, you need to be checking in it and checking voicemail, believe me, it will consume you.
That's
and that
right.
means that you have no trust. I went through that Aww. With my ex-husband. I went through it, and it doesn't do... Listen, and the thing is that I was in a position where at that time I felt like I had no physical means to go just yet. At that time, I had stopped working because everything... He and I both worked, but he was making more of the money, and because he had an earlier shift, and he should have been home for the babysitter right after work, but he didn't. He decided to take his extracurricular duties and use it as if it was extra overtime at his work. So, but with that being said, my responsibility of the bills was paying the babysitter. So I wind up having to take all of my money to pay her because we had a large family. So I had to pay all of my money minus whatever gas I needed for the week or whatever in overtime. So we came to a so-called administrative decision that it was a little more better for me to be home with the kids and eliminate the child care cost. So it was going to be a one-income home. Problem was that every time he came home, I knew something was up. He wasn't a good cheater. He definitely wasn't a good liar. He sucked at it. He thought he was Mr. Suave from God knows which Black Players magazine, but this man sucked, okay? I told him that the kids told better lies than him and did a better job with it. So every day, and then all you're doing for yourself, ladies, is you already know. Even if you're in a position where you can't help it, you already know. So give yourself physical proof of it, to see it detail for detail in written black and white. And that's what you, it starts to become a compulsive thing. You need to check the phone. You need to do this. You don't need it. You don't need it. And if you are at that point in the relationship where you're not even starting to trust him being able to leave your sight, okay, or look at someone that is clearly dressed for people to look at, okay, if you're in that position with your mate and you can't feel comfortable with them being away from you or what, not interrogating them when they get home, you need to end the relationship because there isn't one.
That would consume you. Yeah, I agree. That's just going to consume you and take you out of yourself.
Yes.
Being like that.
You start becoming consumed and with just that. You start talking about what you already know is happening, but it's like you're self-torturing yourself and you feel you got proof now. And all the person's going to do is, okay, you've been in my phone again. Oh, you've been this. And it's not going to stop them from doing what they're doing until the ride is over. So when you start getting to the point, where you have to start not questioning what he's doing or she's doing, where you can't sleep at night because you know in your gut they've done something and you want to know at the same time, listen, let me tell you something. Skeezers, as we used to call them back in the days, they're going to take your man or your woman, either way you look at it, and no matter what you tell them, there's no type of sacred anything in them that'll say, you know what, nah, I'm just going to back off and not deal with that person because he's got a relationship. Because let me tell you something, ladies. 9 times out of 10, if a man approaches a woman in a club or a bar and he asks her what her name is and they start flirting and she asks him, do you have kids? And he says yes. 9 times out of 10, that woman ain't concerned with asking the very important follow-up question. Well, if you have children, where's the mother and what are you guys up to? Okay? So she's not concerned. Neither is he. So you going through all this investigative stuff, you going through all these torturing yourself by seeing the proof of what your gut already knows and what the actions already show, get the hell out of the relationship, run like hell, and keep it moving. Don't look back. Let fire go behind you like the cartoons and keep it moving. You know when the cartoons be showing them the mice running from the cat real quick, that they have that little round of smoke that comes up and then they go boing and they leave? That's what you do. Get the hell out fast because you will become absorbed with it. Okay? And it will torture you. It'll start to become a point that I see you, caller. Just give me a minute. It will start to become an activity for you that's an impulsive, obsessive disorder, and you cannot do without it. And it's going to hurt you more and more, and you're never going to move from it. It's going to be harder for you to do it. Let's bring our newest caller in 1 second. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, Lou. Lou, you just missed our guest.
Who?
The so-called child molester, racist guy.
Uh-huh.
And he brought a friend in. And
the
he brought
clown.
A friend in.
Yeah, the clown. I hope he's still listening. But anyway, I just been listening to the show, and I just heard everything you said about the, you know, the second phone and just so on and so forth and all that. You mentioned about if you have actual proof. I want to speak on something on a flip side, and it's been my experience. I've seen it where it be, and this could be male or female, man or woman, it's been a situation of insecurity. And putting themselves through all of that, checking phones and worrying about so on and so forth simply because of insecurity on their part, and the man or woman is not doing anything. And also, too, I've seen situations where a man or a woman or whatever has been cheating or running around and so on and so forth, and because they are doing it, they have in their mind that the woman is doing it also, and she's not doing anything. You know what I mean? You know what I'm kind of saying? It's
absolutely.
Like, you know, like because
absolutely.
You're guilty, because you're guilty, you have a conscience and figure like they're doing it. You know what I mean and stuff. I've known people personally like that and stuff. So yeah, but basically about the topic about this whole when it's time to leave and you know it's over, many things, I've been listening, many things, you all make good points and stuff and everything, and basically bottom line is a situation where when it seems like the connection is just no longer gone, and people stay in relationships for all different reasons, sometimes financial, like you mentioned, kids, things of that nature, but I've personally been in experience where I stayed in a relationship, yeah, for my kids, but also, too, when you know it's over, but you tend to stay. Have you ever been in a relationship where you tend to stay, and then you're both living together like you're just roommates who don't like each other?
Absolutely.
But you just stay and whatnot. Sometimes going around the house not talking to each other and whatnot and all that, which is crazy. You know, not a good relationship, and you should leave. But there's various reasons, variables that make people stay. Again, financial, kids, things of that nature. You know what I mean? So yeah, you know. That's
yes.
What I had to say.
And I believe there's a lot of people that, you know, it's been the kids that's been, you know, the let's say, the front runner of the relationship. You kind of lost yourself out. Sin Monday, you said something very important. Parents or a relationship, even without children, believe it or not, even without children, you have to keep a moment aside for yourselves, because sometimes two people without children could be caught up in careers that they both
that's
feel is going to... It's going to both be eventually, it's going to eventually be for the better of both of you. But the work that it takes to get there, like I said, if you want to start a business, for example, you know, even if you have the greatest startup capital, it's no guarantee that your business is going to start producing money right away, profits like that right away. So one of the things that you have to do is definitely say that by no means are we going to compromise this day that's set aside for us or this time for us. That's one of the things that I'm a firm believer of. You have to at some point in time say, even if you give yourselves 2 hours and still go back to work, give yourself that 2 hours and let nothing get in the way of it. Not neighbors that you see every damn day, and as soon as you get with your girl or your guy, all of a sudden they want to talk to you on the phone, or they have this big exciting thing to say to you at the moment that you're dealing with your partner. Okay, your sisters and brothers want to call you, and they don't call you all week, but suddenly as soon as you're in with this time with your significant other, suddenly they got these sensors that it's time to interrupt something. You have to make it a point of letting the world know that that time is off limits to everyone but us. Because if you don't, you don't have a relationship. The resentment starts. The, like you said, Lou, you start talking like you're just two partners in a company somewhere. Hey, did you send out the reports yet? Did you pay the phone bill yet? You know, did you pay the phone bill? Listen, it's your turn to do the laundry. Do you want to pick up the kids? Okay, well, I could swing by. Hello. You could have said that in a list. I don't need to hear that from your mouth.
Yeah.
You know, Katie, this is a very, very, very interesting topic that you have tonight. I commend you, but I tell you, it's obviously I don't have any schooling or anything as far as relationship therapists and so on. Like everything I've learned, pretty much I've learned on the wire by basically being in relationships. And I tell you, it's a heck of a thing. Relationships are hard. People, you know, it sounds cliche, and people say it's work, but it really truly is. You know, relationships, you know, maintain them and keep them together, they are a lot of work. You know, there's a whole lot of different variables that goes into maintaining a relationship. Let me give you another example. You mentioned it, and so it just reminded me. Situation where you can come about a situation where you get caught up in the hustle and bustle of everyday life, paying bills, working, career-oriented, so on and so forth, taking care of kids, soccer mom, you're going to sports activities for your kids, so on and so forth, where you can kind of lose you and the relationship fires. You know what I mean? You know, the focus on the relationship is tired. It's an interesting balance. You know what I mean? I've been in that situation where, again, my focus was on working, paying the bills, keeping food on the table, clothes on kids' backs, you know, things of that nature, where you lose, you know, now, for example, none of my kids are all grown and, you know, away from college and so on and so forth. It creates an opportunity, you know, to, like, more focus on the relationship-wise, you know, and it's an interesting transition from, like, kids get out of the house, or even when the kids get up older to the point where you can, for example, leave them at home while you maybe go away for the weekend, things of that nature, you know what I mean? You know, without having to get a babysitter per se and stuff. So it's an interesting juggle. With relationships are really very, very, very interesting.
Yep, they're work.
That's a natural thing, isn't it? The man is the provider, but, I mean, it's two people. You've got to keep the communication up, haven't you? And, like, you know, have your date nights and take your time out to be together.
Exactly.
You know, I like what you said. Lewis, is your name Lewis?
Louis.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think that's great what you've just said, but, you know, it must be hard. It's hard. It is hard. You've got to keep it going, haven't you, and keep the spark there, basically.
You know, a teacher once said to me that anybody could get an A, but it's hard to keep one. And she said that I would understand how that using that analogy from a grade would apply to life. And it's very easy to get into a relationship. It's hard to keep it if you don't put work into it. You know, anybody could plant a seed in the garden, but if you don't water it and you don't take care of it, you understand, you won't have a good garden next year. You know,
And you know what else is very, very, very important is both have to be equally committed. It can't be a situation where one is trying harder than the other and one wants certain, you know, and the other is not, you know, putting in the work also. It takes a team effort. You know what I mean? You can have one that's giving it all and putting their all into the relationship, and if the other is not, it can still be off balance. You know what I mean? Again, this is things that I've learned from experience. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? That going through life and dealing with various different relationships or what have you, and it's very interesting, topic. I really, you know, I've been thinking about it ever since you posed it earlier in the pre-question, and it's like, you know, wow, relationships are really, you know, they're kind of like they can be to a person somewhat is a person who barely knows algebra, and then you set down some calculus, you know, or geometry or something in front of them, and they're like, wow, whoa, you know what I mean? You're kind of like lost, like, because they, you know, it's kind of like a learner, similar to like parenting. There's manuals and stuff that you can read and all that, but for the most part, you have to experience it. You know what I mean? You have to experience trial and error and make mistakes and different things, you know, when it comes to parenting and stuff. Relationships is pretty much the same.
Yes, it is. Because sometimes you might, you know, there are a lot of people who one of them is a little more mature in thinking about certain things. Because, listen, there's a lot of people that come from different backgrounds when they get together. There's a person that had to survive on the streets from a very young age, and they know how to make things work and use resources, make resources out of things that don't exist. And then there's a person who's probably come from everything, who never had to struggle. But you put these two together, and one of them is more childish because mommy and daddy took care of them halfway through their adulthood, while the other one is like, what are you doing? Who needs you to do that? One of the things that I got involved with was my ex was Caribbean. Now, one of the things I know about many Caribbean mothers is that they're equally on both ends of the spectrum with this. Some of them will coddle their sons and do their laundry well into their 30s. Some of them will think that their kids do no wrong well into their 30s and 40s, and this is what they expect. Then there's the other side of those Caribbean mothers that are like, oh, no, pick it up, do it. What are you talking about? You need to respect, you know, that type. Now, I happen to deal with one that his mother to this day will do things for him. He'll buy things for him. He used to buy my children things that he clearly was supposed to do. You know, anything. I always believed that grandmothers and grandparents were supposed to be the added bonus to what you do for yourself. Not
right.
Be the support. And apparently, that's not the way it worked in this culture, and it blew me for a loop. Because he never was accountable for anything. He never understood what it meant to take responsibility for anything, and it drove me bananas. Because here I was a person. Go ahead.
And you know what, Katie? That's an interesting concept. Just this kind of a spin-off, but yeah, we'll go there. I truly believe in that you can absolutely inhibit your child by calling them too much because they don't have responsibility and to do for themselves. Case in point, I know a guy right now, same age as me, 46, 7 years old or something like that. He is still living in his mama's basement, sleeping on a twin bed, simply because this woman would not make him, she would still buy him clothes still buy his cigarettes. He drives her cars. He's just a bum, if you ask me. I call him Peter Pan. And she, bless her heart, she's a beautiful woman, sweet lady and stuff and everything. But because he was her only son, she coddled him to the point where she has basically made him, she probably never admitted, but she has made him, a sorry-ass man. And it's pathetic. I refuse to. I got two boys.
And her boyfriend.
Excuse me, Luke.
She made him her man, believe it or not. That's Luke. The only thing that can happen. What I was going to say was, in essence, these women make their sons like surrogate men. And honestly, they do. If they almost act as if it was legal and moral, they would be just having a full-out relationship. Go ahead, Deacon.
Okay. First of all, let's stop calling these guys men because they're not men. My opinion, those are nothing but spineless worms that have yet to even get a hint or the smell of a real man. Lou and I are what they call men, you know. And some of these people that are in their 40s, and some of them, I know one, a guy that's over his 50s, he's still staying with his mama. And that's an insult, man. Come on, where are you raising? You're supposed to be raising a man? And was the father in the picture somewhere?
You know,
if I was his daddy, I'd have stepped my foot.
He had to sneak women in the house.
Yeah.
Are you sure he's not taking care of her? If he's in his 50s, is he not taking care of her? You know what I mean?
Listen,
see,
I want something. You know
what I mean? That's funny. I'm talking about that. It's funny to me. And that is what this guy is doing, who I talked about. He still sneaks girls in the basement when his mom sleeps upstairs and stuff.
What? Oh, my God.
In the 40s? Lou,
he's
you said...
He's at least 47, I believe.
Oh my God, do you
have
a vlog?
That's close
like
enough to 50, man. Come on.
Do you have
that's
a whip with like those?
50.
Do you have a whip that has those 9 different points on the end so you can flog his ass?
Got a 9 tail.
Just don't introduce me
yeah,
to him, all right?
Are you serious? Right. You know, I get mama, but you grown and you admit, listen, under, listen, I'm, that's hilarious. That's hilarious.
We're laughing, but really all across this country, there are men like that and stuff. And the thing is, again, and it's not always the case. I'm not going to blame the mothers, but it's been my experience where the mother, for example, let me give you an example, not to put all my business in the street, but to be example, I used to be a street hustler. And me and this guy that I'm talking about, we had a house where we was, read between the lines, folks, because we are on the air with that, where we was conducting business, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
House, listen. This is the kind of mother he had. The house got raided. We all outside the police, you know, and then because police got us, you know, doing what they do. The police want the house to get raided. She somehow gets wind or somehow by the neighbors or somehow or something. She shows up on the scene. She out there fussing and arguing going on with the police, talking about, my son don't sell no drugs. Nuh-uh, y'all better take them handcuffs off my son, so on and so on and so forth. I whispered in her ear and I said, Miss Henry, please go home. Please go home. Cook is a grown man. Please go home. He's a grown man. Come on now, whatever this man. And then she was like, no, Lou. But I'm telling you, I know my son ain't no whatever this man. And I had to whisper in this lady's ear and say, Miss Henry, we are selling drugs. You know what I mean? She just kind of got quiet and looked at real. I felt embarrassed for her or whatever, you know what I mean? But that just gives you an indication of what I mean. This is the kind, so this is an incident like this, but throughout his life, that's what she did, up to the school. He get kicked out of school or whatever, something for smoking and so on and so forth. She up to the school arguing and raising heck, come up, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? This is the end result that he's 40-something years old now and still living in her basement.
Honestly, too, there's a couple of factors involved with that. Once a mom lets a grown man like that get to that point, fear factor is involved from them to her, too. I'm not saying this particular gentleman, but I know for a fact, I've seen that a lot of these moms, it's like by the time that they realize they made a mistake, it's too late. This son has taken over the house, the bank accounts, the money, pretty much selling out. You, when you go to work, come back and let me know what you're planning to buy so I can tell you if it's right or not. This guy didn't take care. Listen, this is, I can't even fathom it because I'm thinking about the fact that at 15 and 16, I already was thinking about ways to work legitimate jobs so I could save money, not for the sneakers that my mommy and daddy wouldn't buy, but for real things. By 20, I was already trying to buy my first house.
I'm glad my mama used to
me
talk to me about
the
job at a young age. I went and got a job at McDonald's in high school because my mama always instilled in me about working and getting out and getting on your own. She made me pay rent.
Amen.
And they took me to my house. She made me pay room and board when I was working in high school. And it was very little, but it was hurting me, you know, every 2 weeks. I might have been getting $170, $80 or something working at McDonald's, still going to school. And she made me give her $40 or $50. And usually she gave it back in the form of she still bought all my clothes, shoes, because keep in mind, I'm a minor. But she was making a point, and I appreciate that right there. Once I turned, I think I moved out on my own at 19 years old, got my first place, and I haven't been back since. And that was due to my mom instilling in me to pay bills and take care. She said, used to always say, pay your bills, son, even if it means you're broke, just sit back in your place. You know what I mean? And look out the window. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Yes, indeed.
That's great. I mean, I was working from 11. I was the best. I know we're going off the subject, right? I was the best dressed in the school because I was babysitting, washing dishes from the age of 11, paper rounds, but that's just the way I was brought up to stand on my own 2 feet. But, I mean, you know, are we going off the subject then? I'm sorry, but that's just been fun.
No,
I'm enjoying myself, you know, but
no,
I mean,
well, it's true.
Yeah.
Relationship is work, Lou. You're absolutely right. Nobody could have said it on a more. Relationships are work. A marriage is work. It takes work to keep a marriage together. You know, if you don't believe me, go ask those people that are celebrating their golden anniversary and ask them that they have a trip around the park every single day of their life. You know, especially those that are at this day and age celebrating 50 years, meaning they came from a time where racism was blatantly out there in the open. So they went through a lot of stuff there. Let's talk about parenting. Like you said, there's no damn manuals that come with parenting, and there's nothing anybody could actually tell you about how to be a parent. They could tell you what milestones physically your children should be in by a certain age. They could tell you what kind of hormones your child is going to be going through when the pubescent stage starts to happen. But they can't tell you how to be a person to a person. That's like going to Wendy's. Let me tell you something. Wendy's, MSG, all those, Madison Square Garden, all those places that have people service, the service industry, they have a manual to tell you things that they suggest you could say, but that's for people that are too shy to open up and make the first move. Okay, but it's not telling you how to be a customer servant. They're not telling. They can't tell you that because that's from you. Okay, nobody knows your child the way you do. Nobody knows your partner the way you do. So nobody can tell you. Listen, the biggest baby expert in the entire world, that all pregnant women ran like a colt to go get his book, doesn't even have children. Dr. Spock. And this moron was telling people how you should feel when the baby comes and when you're pregnant. How are you going to be an expert? It's like telling a crackhead how to get off drugs and you never smoked a pipe.
Exactly. It's a person that's been through it, isn't it? But, you know, you've got to experience it, really, and everybody's individual and has a different viewpoint, really, don't they, you know?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have, it does take work, Lou, because you're dealing with two different people who got different personalities, coming
mm-hmm.
from different backgrounds, came from different upbringings, okay? You got different views on things. You might share a lot of things in common, but there might be, say, of the football game. You guys don't like the same team, or you like sports and she doesn't. Or, like, at some point in time, depending on the age difference, this one person might still be wanting to go to the club scene, and you've been there, done that, but you don't mind them going. You know, things like that. You don't know what you're getting, but you start learning each other, and you learn as you go.
You know,
I mean,
you're
it's about give and take, isn't it? Give and take.
You know what I will say, interesting about what I mentioned about, I seem like I'm echoing and I'm talking over somebody, but, interesting what I said about I'm living an experience what I mentioned about earlier about how you get caught up in the hustle and bustle of paying the bills and taking care of the kids and so on and so forth where you don't have that time for the relationship. I don't want to say time, but you get off track where your focus is whatever, and it's happening all across the country. It's not like it's a thing that you do intentionally. It just happens. But I am now, again, with my kids all being grown, two in college and one out on his own working and so on and so forth, I'm now in a situation of a transition where now me and my wife can have date night. We go to movies every week, you know, and date night we sit down and have dinner. And we it's just the focus is just all about us, and it's a total different it's like a 180 as far as, you know, far as being able to be in tune with one another and so on and so forth. Does that make sense? You know, when we didn't have to always, you know, so much where our focus was basically on the kids. And it's a dual thing. You know, mothers tend to, you know, be much more, you know, because you're maternal, y'all are much more whatever, where, you know, far as the doting mothers, et cetera, and you can just get away from whatever. Now it's an interesting transition from now with the kids being grown and out of the house where we can, you know, we talk and more and we, you know, things of that nature. And it's just very, very interesting, you know. So, yeah, you know.
Indeed. I'm down to my last 3 minutes, everyone, and I do have to make some final words here. So let me just get some quick final words about the topic tonight, starting with you, Deacon.
Well, like we've been saying, relationships it takes work, and anything that you have, if you didn't put in work to get it, it's not worth anything anyway. So, and if you don't have that equal, that 50-50 split thing in the relationship, it's not going to work. And communication is an important key.
Thank you, sir. And you, Lou?
Well, I pretty much said a mouthful and said all of my thoughts. All I can say is pretty much live, laugh, and love. That's my motto.
All right.
I like what you said, Lou. Live, laugh, and love. That's good. I mean, you know, and from the sound of it, I liked hearing about your relationship, and you know, I like that. I like that. That's great. You know, you've still got, you know, you still communicate and everything, and, you know, you take time out, you go out together. I have to say, I take my hat off you. That is wonderful, and God bless you.
Great listening.
Oh, no problem, love. I've enjoyed it all. Now I've got the gist of it. It's about generalizing. I wish I was told at the beginning it's not about so much personal stuff. I'm happy to hear that it's generalized, and I'll know that for future. But thank you.
Now you can feel free to share what you feel comfortable sharing, because it's an outreach show based on people's, you know, experiences, and we share what we can to help people who might be in a situation and don't know how to deal with it. Now,
that's right.
In honor of my birthday tomorrow, I plan to have a topic prompted by some feelings that I came up with, knowing how old I'm going to be, 25 to the world, but I know what I'm really going to be. We are going to be talking. What did you say? I know you said something smart, Lou.
That wasn't me, Katie. That wasn't me.
I said nice one girl, 25
again.
Okay.
I thought
nice one.
Hey, dude, I wasn't going to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
I'm telling you. There's no lunatic on this side.
Yes, ladies. Have you gone? Is you still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, what happened? It's KD.
Hello.
Who's still there?
Katie?
Is that you, Lou? I'm still here too,
but I think we lost Katie.
Yeah.
Hey, are we all still here?
Now we must be on a conference call. Well, good night, y'all.
we've lost the leader.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.